Turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, very short verse. It will be our theme verse for this message. We are still, of course, in James, in the latter part of James chapter 5. And we are looking at prayer in particular. And James closes his letter talking about that. The last thing he will speak about is a loving faith. But we're still dealing with prayer. And we've kind of stopped here and hovered for a while. We preached several messages. I believe this will be the seventh one on just this topic of prayer. And it is the reason that I've done so is because I think we, most of us at least, would agree that we are in need of a revival. And I believe in particular we are in need of a revival in our prayer lives. I believe that's a place where revival begins. Amen. And sometimes we look for some big explosion as such, some visible display of a revival to break out, when really revival is an internal thing. It's in our hearts. And the place where we can be closest to God is in our prayer time with God, if we pray in a correct manner. Now, none of us want to pray incorrectly, but I do think that we can grow lax in our discipline of prayer. And we can go off, just like we can in any aspect of our spiritual life, we can get off track. And so it is my hope that by looking first at corporate prayer, how we should pray and what we should pray for as a group, as a church, as a fellowship, anytime we come together, but first looking at that and now looking at private and personal prayer, that somehow we might right the ship, that somehow we might get back on track in our prayer lives, and that would be the impetus, the stimulus for us to have revival. Now, the Lord sends revival. Amen. We cannot generate it on our own, but we can prepare ourselves for revival. And that happens in prayer, and that happens in much time in the Word of God. That happens with us readjusting our focus so that we can make sure that God is first in our lives.
Amen.
And then it may just please God to pour out a revival upon us. That should be our desire, and that should be our hope. And right now, I think as we look around us, and we've spoken some of our just general malaise that we've fallen into, spiritually speaking, as a congregation, and thus as individuals. As we look at that and think about that, it ought to be the longing of our heart that we experience revival in the Lord. So let us really examine our prayer lives. I want to read Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and then we'll talk about what we're trying to accomplish in this message, where it fits with the other messages we preached, and then look at some things, some more attitudes that should be a part of our prayer lives. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we earnestly come before your presence right now, Lord, just seeking for you to further enlighten us concerning prayer and its place in our everyday lives, in our individual private lives, and how it connects us with you and how it can be a way for us to prepare ourselves for a revival that you might send to us. And, oh Lord, we pray for that. We ask for that. We petition you now that you would send upon us a great revival, not just upon our congregation, but upon our entire country, upon this entire land. But Lord, it starts with us first, your people. And I pray that we, Lord, you would restore us in our relationship, the joy of our salvation, that you would make us, Lord, to feel closer to you, to make us excited about you, to make us, Lord, want to put first your kingdom in every aspect of our lives. Lord, help us with this. Help us to understand from this message what you would have us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about effective personal prayer. And what are the right things to pray for, and how should we pray? And we began by talking about how we should pray according to God's will, how we should pray in faith, and how we should pray in obedience. And then last week, we began to talk about some of the attitudes that we should have, or even not have, in our prayers. And we talked about confession and forgiveness and humility last week. Today, I want us to look at three more. And they are perseverance, patience, and thanksgiving. So as we continue with the attitudes of prayer, let us this morning see that we should first pray with an attitude of perseverance. Perseverance meaning we are willing to pray for something over a long period of time. Now, I think that's a problem for us. And I think it stems from cultural things, because culturally we live in a time where we get almost anything we want instantaneously. And we are a very impatient people. And we want things right now. We want something to eat, we want it right now. And we can go to a fast food joint and get our food as fast as we can. And if we go through that line at McDonald's and it takes them more than 5 minutes to see to us, and we're mad at it because we want it right away. We want everything right now. You probably heard someone say this before, but it's like the guy that was praying. And he prays, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now, you know. We that's the way we are sometimes in our prayers. And if we don't get that answer right now, then it falls off our prayer table, if you will. We'll quit praying about it. It takes the most important things of all, it seems, to get us to pray with perseverance. And by that I mean our own health or the health of someone close to us that we love. We will pray for them and pray over a long period of time for that person or ourselves. But we're not really, it seems, willing to pray for much else over time. And there is many times when God says, or that when God desires, that we pray over a period of time for something. And that we wait on Him. And we'll get into patience in prayer in a moment. But we need to pray with an attitude of perseverance. Now, obviously, not everything we pray for will require this kind of perseverance, but some of the certainly most important things will. I want to first look at a few examples of praying over a long period of time from the Old Testament. We see that Moses prayed on the mountain for 40 days on two separate occasions. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, he's praying on the occasion of coming down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments and finding the people of Israel, led by Aaron, his brother, worshiping a golden calf. He became angry. He threw down the tablets and ended up, after all that, on the mountain for 40 days, it tells us. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, "Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you." Now, that was a pretty big deal for Moses. Moses was under the understanding that God was about to wipe out the Israelites. Because even though they had just been delivered out of slavery in Egypt in a miraculous fashion, even though they had crossed the Red Sea in a miraculous fashion, even though God had been giving them water and sustaining them, they were ready at the drop of a hat to turn away to worship a false god. And so Moses, as an intercessor, prayed earnestly that God would spare them. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is what he prayed. "I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." And then we find in Deuteronomy chapter 10, just one chapter further on, verses 10 and 11, where he does so again. "And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights." I think I might have read that a moment ago. "And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee." And the Lord said, see, this is a separate occasion when he does this. "And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them." So on those two occasions, Moses is praying for 40 days and 40 nights. Have you ever prayed for something for 40 days and 40 nights? Now, in this case, Moses is actually separating himself from the people. This is basically the only thing he's doing for 40 days and 40 nights. You ever done that? I say not, probably not. Now, that was a very big thing that was about to happen there, and it required that of Moses. Not everything will require us to pray 40 days and 40 nights, but there are a lot of things that will require that we pray over a period of time. Not necessarily continuously in prayer, but in a part of our daily prayers, maybe even multiple times in a day, for several days, we will pray for something. Praying with perseverance. We find Jacob, the patriarch, also had the same occasion to persevere in prayer. He ends up wrestling with the man from God in Genesis chapter 32, and they wrestle, and finally if it were an angel, if it were the Son of God, anyway, touches Jacob in his thigh to disable him. And even then, Jacob would not let go in verse 26. And he said, "Let me go." That's not Jacob, but who he was wrestling with. "Let me go, for the day breaketh." This is what Jacob says. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He was staying with it. He was persevering until he got an answer for what he was praying for. Now we can also look at Jesus and see that he made a habit of spending much time in prayer. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him," this is speaking of Jesus, "and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." So the crowds are growing. People are pouring out to hear what Jesus has to say and to see the miracles that he was doing, and even to have those miracles performed upon them if they are sick in some way. And there's just many people. What does Jesus do? He broke away from that and spent time in prayer. He separated himself into the wilderness to pray. Now, some would say that was cruel and cold-hearted. These people needed him. Why did he break away? Because he knew it was important for him to maintain his relationship with the Father if he were to do all that he was supposed to do for those people. I tell you, it is important for you to break away and spend much time in prayer with God so that you can do what God has called you to do. Amen. Now, some people get confused over this calling thing. They expect some, registered letter to come in the mail explaining to them what it is God has called them to do. That's not how God works. Now, it may be that He gives you a specific calling. I think a good example of that are pastors, preachers, who get called into the ministry. But I believe everyone has a calling. And you might not receive something that specific, but for every one of us, our calling is found in the Word of God. Are you being obedient to everything Jesus has already commanded you to do? And sometimes we get impatient and we want to bypass all that and we want something else. And we think God ought to give us a specific calling. Well, if He wants to, He will. In the meantime, stay in the Word. Obey what He's already told you to do. And if we're going to do that, we must spend time persevering in prayer. You cannot serve God effectively if the only time you pray about your service to God is in a moment right before you need to do something. Now look, if the opportunity, and we'll touch on this maybe in a moment, the opportunity pops up and you have an opportunity to talk to someone about God, then a short, quick prayer then, that's fine. And you need to and you ought to do that. What I'm saying is, that ought to be itself be building upon much time already spent in prayer, asking God to prepare you for when those occasions occur. And spending time in the Word of God so that you will be prepared and know what to say if someone comes to you and asks you about the joy of salvation that they see in you. We bypass that, the prayer time and the study time, and then all of a sudden at the last second we're asking God to bless us and to help us with that. Well, God is definitely the one you want to turn to on that occasion. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, let's learn how to persevere in prayer and spend time beforehand preparing for what God may bring our way. That's what Jesus did. He also did this on the occasion, He does this several times, but also on the occasion of choosing the 12 apostles. He was going to choose the next day who those 12 were going to be. And in Luke 6, verse 12, it says, "It came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." The next verse tells us that He began to choose the 12. But first, He spent time all night in prayer to God. And when it comes, turn to this. Turn to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. When it comes to persevering in prayer, there is a parable found here that we often think about and is indeed intended to be a guide and an instruction on persevering in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have to be praying every second of every day? That's not what that says. First of all, God well knows that we need times to shut down when we sleep and so forth. And we cannot maintain prayer every second of our lives. He also fully understands that there are times when we need to do something. We need to work. We need to do things. What He's saying is we ought to always be ready to pray. So much so that every moment that offers itself, we take advantage of that and we pray. If we have some quiet time, if we're on break, if we're in a position where we're not doing anything for a moment, pray. Pray. We ought always to pray. and not to faint. In other words, we need to persevere in prayer. And here's the parable, verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What's being said there? First of all, the Lord uses the example of an unbeliever, a judge who did not believe in God. In fact, openly did not. And he was known for this. And then he brings into that judge's presence a widow who was in need of that judge to do something for her, and she would not let up. She continued. She persevered. And finally, to the point where that unjust judge said, she's never going to leave me alone until I do what she wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. And what the Lord is doing there is contrasting and saying, if this unjust judge who does this for all the wrong reasons, but still does it, if he does that, will not God, who loves his elect, who looks out for his elect, who takes care of the every need of his elect people, will not God hear our prayers and answer them in his time? And the answer is yes, he will. And the instruction for us is keep praying until God answers. Persevere in your prayers. Our text verse for today was Colossians 4:2. It says continue in prayer. We need to learn how to persevere in prayer. Now I want to go on to the second point because they go hand in hand. Perseverance in prayer and patience in prayer go together. You cannot separate them. We must have an attitude of perseverance. We also must have an attitude of patience. I mentioned a while ago, there are times when we pray quickly with an expectation for an immediate answer, and it's appropriate to do that. That just shouldn't be the way we pray all the time. But there are times when we are in immediate need, we go to the Lord in immediate prayer, expecting an immediate answer. And a good example of this is in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. There we see that Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer to the king, had been burdened greatly for his homeland, for Judea, for Jerusalem. And he had heard, because the people had been taken into captivity and the place had fallen into disrepair and it was terrible there. And he had a burden for that and a burden to go back there and to help rebuild there. But he served the king. And he couldn't go, just haul off and go there. He couldn't resign his position. You didn't do that. Not in that situation in those days. To do so would be to resign his life, most likely. You didn't just walk away from the king. So he knew that he had to have the king's favor. And so he began to pray, and he had been praying. And then there comes a moment when the king has recognized that he's sad about something. Something's bothering him. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Nehemiah did not answer him in that moment. The scripture says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And then it goes on in verse 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, and he makes his request to be sent back to Jerusalem. But notice what he did. In a moment, he prayed to the Lord. It doesn't say what he asked, but I'm sure it was something like, Lord, help me to say the right thing in this situation and bless my request to this king and cause him to have favor towards me. Something along those lines. Well, that's a quick prayer. in the situation, circumstance called for that. But then there are times when we go to the Lord in prayer and we find ourselves waiting on the Lord. As we've already said, this requires perseverance, but it also requires an attitude of patience as we wait on the Lord. The scriptures talk often, say much about waiting on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Not only does he say it, but he repeats it. And anytime something like that's repeated in Scripture, it's done so for emphasis because it's important. And so I tell you this morning, it is important for us to learn how to wait on the Lord. The Lord is not your magical genie that you can take out your lamp and rub it, take out your Bible and polish the pages by flipping through them quickly to find some verse that might help you immediately. And you don't get to go before the Lord and make a demand of the Lord that he has to answer. It doesn't work that way. Prayer is about us humbly going before the Lord. Amen. Respectfully going before the Lord and making our request. And guess what? Yes, there will be times when God says, wait. Our flesh doesn't like that. You see, our flesh likes to think we're in charge. Our flesh likes to inflate our ego to the point where we think, you know what, God, I've been going to church every Sunday, and I've been reading my Bible a time or two every week, and I've even prayed some. And so, therefore, you ought to be answering my prayer. That's the attitude we sometimes take with God. That's not patience at all. Now, if we want to talk about patience, I want you to flip the script for a moment. I want you to think about how patient God is with us. I don't know about you, but God has extended to me an extraordinary amount of patience. I think we can learn how to be patient and wait on the Lord. I mentioned earlier going through that line at McDonald's or whatever particular fast food place you might go through. How often do we sit there banging on the steering wheel, getting mad because it's taking too long and I've got to be somewhere? We're not patient. And that's because we think we're number one and we ought to be taken care of first. Don't take that attitude with God. First of all, you're not number one. He is. And so our attitude ought to be one of subjection, surrender, and yes, patience. In Psalm 38, verse 15, it says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. That word hope there in that verse means to wait. The hope is a patient waiting on the Lord. I wait on you, Lord. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. More than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. That is a conditioned, disciplined waiting on the Lord. In other words, we have to teach ourselves to do this. It doesn't happen naturally. It takes the work of God in our heart for it to happen to begin with. But we must discipline ourselves to learn how to wait on the Lord. So we need to pray with perseverance, and we need to pray with patience. And lastly, we need to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. We should always be thankful for both what God has already given us and what he will yet give to us. We must not ever fall into an attitude of ingratitude. Amen. or an attitude of entitlement. Touched on this a moment ago. Sometimes we will look at our service to the Lord and we'll try to hold that up before God and say, look, God, I've done this, this, and this, so you ought to give me this. We're not entitled to anything from God.
Amen.
Any blessing. The argument can be made that as the elect of God, we are entitled to eternal life because He's made it so. It is ours. But you're not entitled to any blessing from God on any day. And we need to understand that. It is by His mercy, it is by His grace, it's by His love that He blesses us. I don't deserve a single blessing God has ever given me. And if I start praying with an attitude of, I do deserve this, then I've gone wrong. Yeah. I've erred. I need to learn how to pray in such a way that I am thankful that God even hears my prayer, let alone grants my request. I ought to be thankful that I can even enter into the presence of God, because let me tell you something. I've not done anything on my own by myself that would permit me to enter into the very presence of Holy God. The only reason I can do so, and yes, I can do so boldly according to the Scriptures. The only reason I can do so boldly is because of what Christ has done for me. And because I'm clothed in His righteousness and I belong to Him. But it's not because of anything I've done myself. Philippians chapter 4 tells us in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing, verse 17 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By the way, you want to know what the will of God for your life is? There's one example of where the Scriptures tell us exactly what God's will is for us, and it is that we be thankful in everything. So are you carrying out the will of God for your life? Are you thankful in everything? I want that to sink in for a minute. First of all, I'm thankful that God sent us some rain. I'm thankful that I have food to eat today. God's given me that. I'm thankful for this. It says thankful in everything. Am I thankful when I find myself sick, even seriously ill? Am I thankful to God in that? Am I thankful when my loved one is sick or seriously ill? Am I thankful to God even in that? Am I thankful when things don't go my way? Am I thankful when I have a financial setback? Thankful to the Lord for that? Am I thankful that when I'm going down the road, I have a flat tire? And I've got to pull over and change that thing. I think I've told you all this story before, but way back under, Ron and I were first married and living in Fayetteville, and I was going to college up there. We would come home every so often. You know, this particular time we're coming home, going down, we were on the interstate, I-40, and I had a flat. And had to pull over on the side of the interstate. It's dark. It's in the evening. 7, 8 o'clock, somewhere in that time frame. And I've got to pull over. And I've got to change that flat. And I'm grumbling. Man, why does this have to happen to me? I'm going to be home. Got to change this flat. Rhonda won't get out here and check. No. I wasn't saying that. But I was grumbling. And then I had this thought. What if? What if I hadn't had that flat? And 2 miles down the road, 5 miles down the road, 10, whatever, I gotten into a wreck. What if this is God's way to protect me from that? And I don't know that it was, but I sure don't know that it wasn't. And that changed my attitude. And I've never been so happy to change a flat from that point forward. We've got to learn how to be thankful in everything. Colossians 4:2 again, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for. We have a Heavenly Father who created us. And if we're born again children of God, who has quickened us, and who has mercy and love and grace for us, we have a Savior, the very Son of God, who died for us and then was also resurrected to give us a great hope. And we have a Holy Spirit who teaches us and comforts us and guides us. We don't need anything else, folks, when we have that. It's nice to have food to eat. It's nice to know you've got a place to stay. It's nice to receive those material blessings from God. But if we didn't get another material blessing from God the rest of our lives, and we're born again, and we have eternal life, we have plenty to be thankful for. Let's learn how to pray with an attitude of perseverance and patience and thanksgiving. And I ask you this question. What do you need to change about your prayers? Let's go to the Lord and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. Lord, you give us so much. In spiritual blessings, eternal life, Lord, we cannot begin to thank you enough for these things. And Lord, we pray for your help, and we know we receive it to help us to be more persevering and patient in our prayers. Transform us, O Lord, and transform our prayer lives. And may the end of this be a drawing closer to you that leads to, Lord, you blessing us with revival. Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures, for our sins, for our bad attitudes. We've talked about good attitudes we need to have, or that also requires that we get rid of the bad attitudes. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be changed. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there be one here who has felt your quickening hand upon them, Lord, who believes in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they might come forward, that they might be baptized, that they might make that profession of faith. And I pray for each one here who has done so and who needs this revival that we speak of, O Lord. We pray that you would grant that. Lord, we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.